The Detroit Car Show meets the economics of 2015.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What's formerly known as the North American Auto Show opens to reporters in Detroit today. Industry reps on Wednesday and the public on Saturday will be following the news. And today, a preview as car and truck companies look for higher sales amid lower gas prices and rising consumer confidence. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports from Ann Arbor.
As many as 45 all-new cars, trucks, and crossovers are scheduled to make their debut in Detroit this week. The show opens to the public on Saturday and will feature everything from plug-in hybrids to so-called supercars. Jake Fisher is the director of auto testing at Consumer Reports. Cheap gas may be driving sales of trucks and SUVs for now, but unlike previous years, Fisher says the automakers are doubling down on fuel efficiency.
We're living this new trend where everything is going to be kind of environmentally responsible, too. So those high-performance vehicles and sports cars, they're going to be hybrids. They're going to be plug-in hybrids. They're going to be electric.
Japanese automakers are making a push to take on Ford in the booming full-size truck market. Nissan is rolling out an upgrade to its Titan truck. And it isn't just the big trucks who are making a splash. Fisher says there's also a rebirth of the old-school pickup.
What we're seeing now is another chance at that midsize truck. The Chevy Colorado, a smaller truck, coming out with a diesel later this year, that will be very exciting.
GM also has big plans to take on Tesla in the plug-in electric market. Chevy will unveil the Bolt, that's Bolt with a B, later this week, a fully electric vehicle with a reported range of 200 miles. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And by low crude oil prices, we mean really low today. American domestic oil production, lower global demand, and OPEC's decision to keep pumping have produced the lowest oil prices since April of 2009. Today, oil is down, listen to this, 3.4% by mid-morning Eastern time. The Texas price was at $46.73 a barrel. This is helping households and businesses cut their energy bills, and it could keep interest rates lower for longer. Tonight, the Oregon Ducks square off against the Ohio State Buckeyes in the first-ever college football playoff championship game. This represents a new ritual for wrapping up the college football postseason. And if the name, what should we call it, the CFPCG, sounds generic, it is. Marketplace's Dan Weissman explains.
Alexandra Watkins runs the brand naming consultancy Eat My Words, and she's the author of Hello, My Name is Awesome. She starts brainstorming right away.
How about Goldfish Bowl? Is that taken? And Mixing Bowl? I also like Punch Bowl because it's kind of aggressive.
I hate to tell her they had 2 years to settle on college football playoff.
No, please tell me. Nobody paid for that name. Are you kidding me?
She thinks all the good ideas must have been shot down in meetings. But starting with a generic name has worked before. Michael Oriard is a retired English professor, a former NFL player, and author of Brand NFL. He says the first Super Bowl was just called the AFL-NFL Championship Game. And the NCAA brought out the basketball tournament now called March Madness under a generic name.
The NCAA couldn't invent March Madness. It had to emerge over time. And so my guess is that the college football playoff will acquire some jazzier, sexier title at some point.
Punch Bowl, anyone? In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Now, if you have a better idea for naming the college football playoff championship game, tweet us at Marketplace. During the long recession, a lot of golf courses in America shut down. And once a golf course closes, you can't just give it a mow and open it back up now that the economy's recovering. Which brings us to all the acreage that used to be golf courses. Some are getting greener or letting nature take over. From Station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio, Lewis Wallace has the story.
I'm literally stuck in a rut, perched in an all-terrain vehicle with Michael Enright, the conservation manager with Five Rivers Metro Parks.
We're not stuck yet.
We get out okay and come up over a hill to a dry, overgrown field of thistles and goldenrod. Not too long ago, this was a trim, manicured golf course called Larch Tree.
I've been to Africa several times, and it reminds me of the savannah there when I look out across it.
The private course outside Dayton went out of business after the recession, and the Parks District bought it to turn the land back into a mix of wetlands and grasses. Enright says it helps that property values around here are low and not much is getting built. They weren't competing with developers for the land.
The economic downturn certainly has aided open space preservation.
And, of course, golf courses have been closing down by the dozens. Old greens have gone wild in Michigan, Tennessee, even California in the last few years. Florida attorney Dawn Myers says in her neck of the woods, developers often grab up property quickly. But she says the neighbors usually don't want a bunch of buildings going in.
They like the view, they like the open space, and they don't want to see it developed into anything else.
So she says parks or wildlife areas could be a good option because
no matter what happens on this property, it's not going to be a golf course anymore.
For the Dayton folks, the deal is working out pretty well. Once the restoration is done, Metro Parks will pay it off by selling wetland mitigation credits to developers who've destroyed wetlands elsewhere. It's called mitigation banking. And as we're leaving Larch Tree, a neighbor, Elmer Williams, pulls up in a van.
Are you allowed to fish in here?
Yes.
He's been fishing the pond since the golf course closed. He's happy it's going to be a park.
I think it's great. You know, somebody needs to take it over and make it back to something good. Add more fish.
The marshy ponds and crumbling trails are already open to the public. In Trotwood, Ohio, I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And last night at the Golden Globes, Netflix continued its recent winning streak for shows delivered through the internet. But it was also a big night for Amazon, which won for Transparent, the comedy about a transgender dad. A hurdle for Amazon is getting people to subscribe to the service for people already paying for cable, paying for internet, and paying for Netflix. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.